Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Less Panic, More Peace. On today's episode, I'm going to be speaking with a food allergy mom, an advocate, and most of all, a person who's trying to find humor in everything she does while figuring out the food allergy journey. She uses TikTok as a platform to share her ideas and uses interesting trends to make people more aware of food allergies in general. I introduce to you all Katie Sokal. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Good. I found you on TikTok, actually, right? So I saw one of your videos, and it was about the mother's perspective on food allergies. So your TikTok was, you were at an allergist's office, and the allergist is talking to you about your child's allergy and at the yearly check. And the doctor starts talking to you, like, super fast and, like, scientific vocabulary, and you're just thinking in your mind, like, I have no idea what you just said or how I'm going to remember all of this. And I just remember thinking that you are an example of someone using humor to relate to food allergy parents. And I think that I wanted you to share your perspective and your story on food allergies as a parent. To start off, can you share your child's food allergy?
Mm-hmm. So my son is 2 years old. He'll be 3 in April. And he is allergic to peanut, all tree nuts, except for pecans, peas, dairy, and egg.
Oh, wow. Well, that's a lot of allergies. So how old is your child?
He's 2. He'll be 3 in April.
Oh, he's 2. Okay. So you are are you new to this allergy life?
You know what? He was diagnosed at 4 months old. So at this point, I am new in some aspects. Like, we haven't crossed the bridge of school or anything like that. But as far as the years in, I'm almost 2 years completely into the food allergy game. So I kind of feel like a vet in that way and what I've learned. And we've already gone through, unfortunately, one anaphylactic reaction. So I now know how to use his OBIQ and all of that. So it's a little bit more of a vet experience in that sense. But yeah, I do have a lot of years that I can still tack on because he's only 2. But yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So diagnosed at 4 months old. That's really rough. So can you share that story, like that anaphylactic story that you had with your child? Because I know a lot of people really like hearing stories and they learn more from the stories and they're more aware of them. So can you share that anaphylactic story with the audience?
So absolutely. I love to share the story because it's so important for people to know what to look for, because not all anaphylactic reactions are the same. So that day, it was actually last November, right after Thanksgiving, I remember. And we had gotten home from getting a tree. And I was like, I have these new own pea protein drinks. And at that time, we did not know, obviously, that he was allergic to pea protein. So I gave him a sip. And a couple nights before, he'd had about 4 or 5 peas by themselves and he was totally fine. So I was like, okay. So I gave him a sip. He loved it. He wanted more. I gave him another. It was just like a tiny bit in his little sippy cup. That's it. A little bit more. And then within a few minutes, I find my son, if he's going to react, it's going to happen typically real fast. Like the last time too, it's been within the first 2-3 minutes that he starts to react. And for him, especially with younger kids who cannot speak and say, mom, I'm itchy, mom, this isn't right, I have to go off of his body cues. And his first sign is ear pulling, and he starts to itch his ears really bad. So he started to itch his ears really bad. And I was like, uh-oh. So it starts with his ears, then it goes towards his mouth and his neck. So then he started with his neck. And typically, I think what it is that when he scratches his neck, it's like his throat's itchy, but he doesn't know that he can't scratch it that way because he's so little. So it escalated from there really fast. So he went from ear pulling to rubbing his mouth to scratching his throat. And then so with James too, he starts to cry really hard, like when something's not right. Like, so again, that's another thing that when they can't talk, you have to go off of other cues. So he started crying pretty bad. And I told my husband, I was like, he's having an allergic reaction. And at this point, there were no obvious hives, but I know just from how he was freaking out. And then his face started to get, so I gave him some Benadryl because I thought maybe that will, I gave him Benadryl. did not. In fact, he screamed even harder after Benadryl and he got even worse. So the other thing that happened was his mouth started to get really red and tight and kind of started to swell up. And then he got these weird hives that were white around his face. And he started to drool. And this is the thing with like little kids too. As soon as he started to drool, I remembered everything that I had learned from Falling Pages, like red sneakers for Oakley. And one of the other fellow food allergy moms that I follow on Instagram, Stephanie Bishop, her son had just had an anaphylactic reaction. And one of his symptoms was coughing. And this is a weird thing that people kind of don't really know is a part of a reaction. And I had told my husband, if he's already got two symptoms, or a couple more than two. He's itching, he's got hives, like it's the combo. And I said, if he starts to cough or anything else, I'm epiing him. Sure enough, he started to cough, screaming even harder. His face got even, like, it wasn't really like it swelled, it got very tight. So I went ahead and I grabbed his AuviQ and we did the first one on the outside of his right thigh. And we called 911, you do it right away. And 911 had instructed us to lay him on the ground and put his feet up. He had turned pretty pale at that point. They had asked what his coloring was like and we hadn't noticed it, but his face was really red, but his legs when we took off his pants were actually pale. So then the paramedics came and they evaluated him and they took him away. And luckily he only needed that one shot of the epinephrine. They gave him more steroids. They gave him some Benadryl. His face slowly started to go back to not being so stretched and tight. Like I said, it wasn't your typical, what you see on TV, like your eyes are swollen. It was like a weird tightness, like, cause he already had chubby cheeks and they just kind of got stretched out and tight. And, the one thing that I want to say that I really took away from this anaphylactic reaction was, I had asked the paramedics, I had said, you know, well, they said, you're really calm right now. And I said, well, at this point you guys take over. And I know that he is in good hands. And he had almost started to really just turn around. And I said, I know it's good that we called you, right? I know that you're not, cause my hospital is only about 5 minutes away, 5-10 minutes. And they said, when it comes to anaphylaxis with children, especially, you never want to drive them to the hospital yourself after administering an epi. You want to always call 911 right away. The reason being is that if you get that basal reaction, the second wave that comes through and you're in a car seat, how are you going to epi them? They are there to monitor them. And I say that because I know so many parents who panic and they're like, I can get them there faster or I can get... Call 911. It's hard to wait for it and it can feel like a million years. And I mean, the ambulance came so fast, but it does feel like 1,000 years you're sitting there waiting and watching your child. But do not attempt to put them in a car seat and drive them yourself if you are able to, call the professionals in. And they said, and I know this is a scary thought, but with children, once that throat starts to swell up and close, once the airway becomes blocked, it is damn near impossible to reopen. It's very hard because there's so little to reopen that airway. So one thing that I took away that I will constantly preach about is call 911. Do not think I can make it to the hospital. And another thing too, that they said, they see parents crash all the time because they're speeding and trying to hurry up and get there. And now you have a car accident and your kid's going into shock in the back. So 911 right after. And that's my story.
that's a very eye-opening story. I'm so glad that you shared that. A lot of people need to know, you know, so call 911 right after an allergic reaction, which is really important. I know.
Even while you're doing it.
What did you say?
I was like, even while you're doing it, if you have a partner, get one person on the phone and say, and make note of what time you did it and all that stuff, you know, and just pass it off to them. You know, you're not going to be able to jump into the back seat to ep your kid again if they go back into that second wave reaction.
Yeah. And having, being a young child, not even understanding what's going on to your body is like so, so rough because you can't really speak, right? You can't really acknowledge the fact that you're having an allergic reaction and you can't tell anybody that you're feeling a certain way. And you as a parent must be feeling insanely like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. Because I know a lot of parents, like new parents, they go into a panic mode. And I feel like I had an allergic reaction a summer ago and I had Thai food and I had an anaphylactic reaction. I went to the hospital and I felt so much better being at the hospital. People are taking care of me, and I'm sure my dad felt the same way being at the hospital. So I feel like being there just makes me feel a lot safer. And I feel like a lot of other people too, but it's extremely hard having a young child have an allergic reaction. They don't even know what's going on. So thank you for sharing that. It's very, very important. So after the allergic reaction, have you ever felt this kind of guilt inside you? Like, what was your mental state kind of going on through that?
I mean, for sure. I don't think I've ever met a mom afterwards that's not going to question everything that they did and feel guilty about. It's a part of the mom badge of honor, that not honor, but you know, it just comes with that territory. We're going to get guilt for many things, but you do go back and you say, I shouldn't have had him try this. I was just trying to, you know, I should have just left it alone. Especially when your kid has such a limited diet, you want to try to give them as many possibilities and make sure they're getting all that nutrition. And there's so much emphasis on that. And that's another form of the mom guilt, like, oh, they're not getting it. So yeah, I did. I was like, I should have just let it go. I should have tested it out at a different, you know, like we didn't need it, you know, per se. And it's, you can spiral pretty quick into that, but ultimately, I mean, you have to look at the bigger picture in the lesson and take away something from that and then educate. I think that even speaking out upon it and telling people what had happened with us kind of helped with the guilt, because it's like, yeah, we did this, but it happens. Well, how are we going to learn? And I can't live in the fear of him not having this option. He needs to know, you know, it's going to happen. Like, we have to just try. So
yeah. Yeah,
I had some guilt there for a bit, but what actually also helped too is just knowing, you know, the paramedics and the EMTs, they were like, you did everything right. And that right there really helped calm me down.
Yeah. I mean, you live, you learn. That's the only way you're going to learn. So, I want to step back a little bit into, an everyday kind of life and food allergies. So I know, what goes through your mind when your child asks, okay, the scenario, what goes through your mind when your child asks for a new food allergy snap? Maybe they're at a friend's house or something, and they ask you to read the label. And then once you check everything and their allergens are not in the snack, like, what goes through your mind when you give them a new snack?
So basically, when I look at a new food, if I'm going to be comfortable with it, it has to be something that's not going to be a possibility of cross reactivity. So that's the first thing I do. So if it's a brand new snack, we're at a friend's house, and say, like with him having an allergy to peas within the legume family, if I'm looking at it and we've never had like a faba bean or, you know, anything else within that family, and it's in this food and I take note of it, I won't do it if I'm somewhere else. I'll say, you know what, let's try a different snack. This, not this one today. Or if we're at home and it's a different snack, then I will keep an extra eye on him. Because again, it's a very, like, you gotta outweigh, like, it's a new food, maybe this will introduce it, versus, you know, it could, yeah, knowing that it could possibly cause a reaction. So I kind of juggle the risk versus the advantage type of a thing. But I definitely always have my eye on him no matter where we go. If it's at family, if it's his friends, it's, you know, you don't stop. You gotta check. You gotta just check and check and check and check.
Yes, definitely. 100%. So what are your go-to snacks that you use for your child's allergen?
We love fig bars from Nature's Bakery. Those are really good, especially because they come in Costco and they're really tasty. And he loves those. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Oh, you know what? Yoplait just came out with their first dairy-free Go-Gurt, and it is amazing. And it's made with coconut, milk. We can have coconut. So that's another one that he recently really, really likes. Belveeta crackers. Those don't have any, they're so good and they're so easy to just get. So what I struggled with a lot was snacks that I can just hand off to him just real quick. Like, you know,
yeah.
Here you go. You can have that, blah, blah, blah. So stuff like that, he really likes. I'm trying to think of what's in our daily rotation. Oreos, people don't realize Oreos are dairy free. They're not, you know, and you can have, we can have those. That was like one of the first things that I think we're like, yay, we can have Oreos. So Oreos are always in my house. Yeah, I think that's our chips. He really likes like plain Ruffles and stuff like that. And oh, everybody eat. I discovered through Spoken, who I'm an ambassador of. I don't know if you're aware of their app. You can learn so many new foods that are all top eight, or not all of them are top eight, but there's a lot of top eight free companies. There's these crackers on there and they're like so good. It's the closest thing that I can get them to almost like a Cheez-It that he likes, and they're all baked. They're called Everybody Eating, and you can now find them on Amazon. I like their fiery lime chili flavor. It's so good, but those are staples right there. And I got that one off of Spoken's Food. So
okay, so what's the app called again?
So the app's called Spoken. It's S-P-O-K-I-N, and it's really great. What Susie, the founder of it, is her mission is, it's a restaurant finder for people with food allergies. It's basically a communal hub. So we all kind of get together, do our own reviews, do our own, we like this, we like that. But on top of that, she has things called verified brands and companies. So what she does is she goes in and does the hard work that most food allergy moms do. She calls the companies and says, how do you clean your lines? How do you do this? How do you process that? And once they've reached this level, they become verified, and you can find all the information on the page. And it kind of just opens you, these small and big new food allergy snack companies are on there. I know Enjoy Life's been verified on there. Partake Cookie, Queen Granola is on there. But yeah, so that's it. And then, like I said, in between, if you're traveling and you're looking for a restaurant nearby, it sorts it out per your allergies, and you'll get reviews from people that have done it and been like, yeah, they're really good. No, they're really bad. Hotels she has in there, amusement parks. It's got a part in the app where you can maintain your OBIQ or your injector. So it'll remind you if it's expiring, and it'll keep all the information in there. It's great. And it's good for community. She's got a lot of articles and stuff. So
yeah, it's great to have a community just to kind of have your back. And I know I'm a part of these like Facebook groups and everything, and they're just really great to have people just asking questions. There's just an abundance of comments and replies, and it's really great to have that, like, I'm not alone kind of thing. Exactly. And also, speaking of traveling, which you just mentioned, so I went to Italy 2 years ago in 2018, and my sister had to take two EpiPens there. And because of the miscommunication and the cross contamination and everything, and she's allergic to nuts. So she had a chocolate croissant, quote unquote, and actually it was tree nuts. And she also ate something else that had cross contamination. She had a coffee ice cream that had cross contamination in it. So I know that for me and my family, we had some struggles traveling with food allergies. So what advice, I'm not sure if you have traveled with your child with food allergies or anything, but what is your advice on traveling safely with food allergies?
So we have traveled as far as we've camped. I'm trying to think of where else we've gone. We camp, we go, we do Airbnbs. I'm trying to think of the farthest place we've gone with him being little. I can't think of anything right now. We haven't done Disneyland yet, but I know how to navigate that as well. So when it comes to traveling, my advice for them is know where your hospital locations are. Stay within. I like to comfortably be 15 minutes from a hospital. Make sure you have good cell service wherever you're at. Make sure you know their emergency room procedures and all of that. If you are going outside of a foreign country, like to a foreign country, make sure you know, have a translator card that you can speak the language to someone to explain what happened, or have some kind of prompt. I know there's a bunch of people that have those little cards that you can carry. Make sure you bring two Epis. It's a must. You have to. If you have room for two, depending on how far, like long you're gone, but yeah. Anybody that's traveling with you, like when I go camping in July, everybody gets a lesson on how to use an auto injector. Everybody gets a lesson on what anaphylaxis looks like. And these are like my close family and friends, these guys that I consider everybody gets sat down around the campfire. I take my practice OBIQ. They all practice on themselves. They all ask questions. And I have a list of foods that are banned and foods that please just keep up high. You know, we kind of go through the drill, wash your hands. You just have to all be on the same page of the people that you're traveling with. So you want to make sure that you have other eyes with you and for you. bring the foods that you can, pack the foods that you can, if you're able to. We like to stay at Airbnbs because we have kitchens there. Wipe everything down when you get there. Look for any kind of signs of your allergen around the place. I do this with the camp, with the campground. I'll go and look for food that could be left on the table, peanut shells, anything like that. What else? Yeah, basically really know where your hot, like your area is.
Yeah.
Establish your area. You don't want to be there and be like, where's my closest hospital? You want to know that information. Also, this is huge too. Know the address of where you're at and know exactly how, and the phone number, you know what I mean? You have that all set up on one paper so that if you have to call 911 and they say, where are you? You're not scrambling to find the hotel address. You're not, where are we? What's my, and it's hard because I've had this happen. Everything, your mind just goes blank. So have a piece of paper that has that. I actually have a binder that we take with us. This is an emergency binder that has everything in it. So people, if they have questions or if I leave and something happens, they can refer to this binder and it will have all this information.
That's great. Yeah, I really love how you said what you said about the finding your hospital like right near you. Because I know when I was in Italy, my sister had the coffee ice cream cross contamination, breaking out into rash, hives all over. Had to take the EpiPen, and then my dad just took us to the hospital. But we had to find it on Google, like where's the nearest hospital. Took the Uber. It was like raining, cats and dogs, and we were all just like panicky. We didn't know what to do. We went to the hospital. There was people the doctors smoking outside of the hospital. It wasn't a very good hospital. It was just all insane. So we called our allergist from America and he basically kind of instructed us what to do and everything. So, I mean, you live and learn. I don't know. It was a very traumatic and scary experience, but I'm glad that you mentioned that. And I hope everybody listening right now understands that being able to navigate your way across, you know, when you're traveling, you have to actually understand that hospitals are there for you and they can help you. And you just have to find out, like, just have a radius of like where you are. And like you mentioned, find it a hospital right near you. So I like how you mentioned that. And also, I think that EpiPens, like when you went camping, you said that everybody takes an EpiPen and they know how to inject it. And I think that's very necessary, even in school. Like, I feel like we should be required to learn how to take an EpiPen in school and how to actually inject it, because God forbid something happens. There are people having peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and everything. So I actually want to ask you about that. Has your child ever suffered from like feeling left out or feeling a certain way? I know he's only two, but like, has he ever felt kind of, oh, maybe I should have, I really want that cake, but I can't have it.
So he's starting to realize it's now, we are just starting to get to that point with him. Especially with COVID right now, it's actually been easy for us to skate the whole birthday party situation and Christmas and all of that. We do have within like our little COVID pod though, our cousins that we hang out with, my sister's kids. And if there is a birthday party, I have gone and I get his own little safe cupcake that I know is good for him, or I'll bring a treat. There has been an occurrence and he's starting to point to foods that somebody else has and he'll ask for it and I'll say you can't have it. And I'll either give him something that's very similar. I try to get as close as possible so that he knows he still has something that's there. Overall though, I'm kind of blessed because typically my sister is very good with not pulling out things that James can't have to create this problem. So the cousins know that if they want a snack, it has to be something that James can also eat. So he's not staring at them eating something and then they can't have it. The toughest go has been like donuts. Like somebody brings out donuts. Donuts are like a bear when you have dairy egg allergy, because you can't find a bakery really that does that. So stuff like that, I have to distract him with a cookie. But yeah, he feels left out and I try, right now he doesn't understand allergic. I just started explaining it to him the other day and he started to cry. So I kind of backed up a little bit, but for so little, I think all he hears is you can't have that. So I've started to say things like, it's not safe for you. You'll get sick, but you can have this. This is safe for you. And then you just have to have a backup always. Us food allergy moms, we carry our gear. We've got every kind of snack, every kind of good for these moments that pop up so that our kids don't feel left out. You know, they're not just sitting out in the dust. So yeah, that's how we handle it.
We're super women. That's awesome. So has your child ever, like, I don't think he has, but because he's like only two, and suffered from like bullying or anything like that? Because I know a lot of people, younger children, maybe like in elementary school, have dealt with that, people picking on them because of something that they can't control. Has your child ever kind of suffered from that?
Thankfully, no. I have really sweet people around me. My friends and my family are incredible with it. And he's around a lot of, they're very hyperprotective of him. If anything, they are very, awesome. They are my other set of eyes. They will come flying across the room. Nina, can he have this? And I saw James with that. Is that safe for him? Or James is scratching his, you know, cause he has really, my son has extremely bad eczema, and they're even really understanding with that. And, you know, his rashes are hurting him, and they'll carry him to me. And so thankfully, no, we have not had to deal with the bullies yet. I've been blessed where I have actually a tremendous support. And I think that what you have to do with that, and he's still little, is you have to make it cool. You have to make it a thing of honor. So I'm trusting you to protect your cousin. Can you help? Like, and then it turns a situation where a kid could be seen as problematic into somebody that I think kids would want to stick up for and save instead of pick on for that. And you kind of create allies for them instead of having people just sit back and give them that opportunity where they can resent them because they can't eat something, or, you know, oh, well, he's around, so we can't have this. I say, I appreciate you guys. You guys are doing such a good job keeping him safe. You guys are like his superheroes. You're his own food Avengers. You guys all come in and you keep him safe.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you how to make allergies awesome. I feel like that's like one of the biggest phrases you can use. So personally, I hear people say that gluten or dairy-free foods are like gross or they don't taste good. But so what are some of those like common myths we can debunk that you hear about acquiring food allergies that a lot of people don't know of? Like, if you don't have any allergies listening, what are some myths possibly you can share? Lactose intolerance.
Oh, no, don't start me on that one.
And would that be a myth? I mean, for people, I know it is for me, but people who don't know.
Okay, so people that don't know, one of the biggest pet peeves, and I am not in any ways, I'm going to put a disclaimer on what I'm about to say. In no way, shape, or form am I saying that lactose intolerance is not something that's to be not taken seriously. It is something that does affect your body, and it does cause harm to those that do, you know, consume dairy. It is a thing. The problem I have with this is that what happens is they become interchangeable by those who are not within the food allergy community. So I've had many a people talk to my son and be like, oh yeah, buddy, I get it. I'm lactose intolerant. I get a tummy ache. Not the same. I appreciate that you're trying to get down to our level. And the reason why I get very passionate about this is because the treatment and the actions that happen when one consumes it are very different. When you have a dairy allergy, you go into an anaphylactic, you know, your anaphylaxis is your reaction. When you have lactose, it's a digestive symptom reaction where, you know, you have, it's usually, you know, in your gut and you throw up, you know, or whatever. This is not the same. They're not interchangeable. Two different ways to solve these problems. Again, not saying one's more than the other, but my fear is that my son's going to consume dairy and somebody's going to think, oh, give him a Lactaid. No, that's not going to do anything for him. He needs an EpiPen. I had a neighbor that she said the same thing, and she's like, oh yeah, what happens to, she goes, my stomach, you know, my tummy hurts when I have dairy. And she said, what happens to you? And I said, well, you know, he could die. So there's that. And again, not saying that you can't have some serious complications from being lactose intolerant, but again, different treatments. My son needs an EpiPen, not Lactaid, to cure that. So that's one of the myths that drive me absolutely, but not bonkers, is they are not interchangeable. We cannot, they're not the same thing. That's a big thing. Dairy allergies, and it's the same with wheat allergies and gluten intolerances. They are also not interchangeable. Celiac is not the same as having a wheat allergies. Again, we're not saying they're not both serious, but different ways to treat them. So that's my whole thing. What else in the food allergy community that's kind of like a myth? You know, which one bothers me is more of an image thing. People with food allergies aren't these nerdy people that have to stay, you know, that one just bothers me. I'm like, no. That's another myth. Is that these indoor kids that can't do anything? Like, yeah. You said, you're in Italy. Like, you can travel. You can. My kid camps. we're going to teach him to rock climb. We're going to teach him to
even. Yeah, I know. It's like the image of like the glasses, like the nerdy type, sitting at the allergy table all alone. Like, come on. It's not going to be like that. But yeah, thank you for sharing that. And I want to take a little break, and I want to do a little segment I do, and it's called the Fast Five Questions. And so I'm not sure if you heard of like Ellen's Burning Questions or like 73 Questions by Vogue. It's just these five questions. You're going to answer them like super fast as you can. And they're just going to be very beneficial for people. So are you ready?
Okay. Yes,
So how do you come across clearly to a waiter or waitress when going to a restaurant?
I start with listing his allergies.
Okay, great. So when you're going through an allergic reaction, what's one tip you can give parents, like new parents? Oh my God, I don't know what to do. What's one tip you can give them?
Take a deep breath is the first thing. That's absolutely like take a deep breath, survey the scene, and remember Epis before Benadryl.
Perfect. What international foods are the safest to eat with a dairy allergy?
This is hard for us because we also have a treated allergy. And
oh, gosh.
So that rules out all. We basically were told we can't have any Mediterranean food, any Indian food, anything like that. So the safest for a dairy allergy, Mexican.
Oh, okay. Have you stopped eating the allergen your child is allergic to because he's allergic?
Peanut butter, yes. So peanuts and tree nuts are not allowed in my house.
Okay. And what's the step-by-step procedure in allergic reaction?
So first I survey him to see how he looks as far as his eyes and his throat and everything else. So there's that first. If it's a minor reaction, typically no hives, is just runny nose, and I go towards, you know, what do I treat it with? So that's the next thing. Is this a Benadryl situation or is this an Epi situation? Then from there, I'm able to either administer the Epi and then go towards that way. So it's just basically a summary of how quickly is it escalating and what are the symptoms, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, that was the fast five questions. Good job. Oh,
okay, I tried to answer them fast. I don't know if I got there. So
everyone does that. It's great. The more information, the better.
It's just all survey. It's just taking it all in and assessing from there.
Yeah, it's great. Okay, cool. So kind of back on track, I want to move to the peaceful side of things. So my whole podcast is about like less panic and more peace. So what's some advice you can give to a parent who's just starting on this allergy journey? Like, how do you find humor in this kind of situation you're in? How do you find light in this?
I have to. If not, you'll drown in anxiety and loneliness and isolation. So my pieces of advice, really, probably the first thing I would say is find your community, find your people. And when I say that, I mean, it's twofold. It's find your community, whether it's online, your family or your friends, somebody that you can trust, that you can talk to, that you can vent your fears, that won't laugh at you, that won't not take you seriously or brush you off, who can answer your questions and be a sounding board for you. So that's my thing. And then find a good medical tribe too, like a good medical community. Make sure you have your doctor who you can talk to. That's a huge, huge thing with parents. Don't settle for a doctor that's going to bully you or intimidate you. So find good medical and personal community. The other thing when it comes to how to deal with it, I'm a person that I have to find the light in it. I have to. I will drown otherwise. And I know because in the beginning I was drowning. I was just stuck in the scenarios of the over and over and over and over again of what's going to happen in school, what's going to happen. Find the light, find the humor. If you can, I mean, it doesn't mean I don't take it seriously. God knows I'm one of my son's biggest advocates. But you have to laugh. You have to get through it. You have to find some kind of joy and humor in it. Or again, you'll just go crazy. And people ask me all the time, how are you able to do it? Well, what's my other option? Sit and cry. You got to do it. I mean, and it also, I think about it too, is if I can put the humor out there and somebody else is a little less alone, then I'm helping someone. So finding humor in it through everybody else and feeling like that sense of community of laughing together is really healing, because then you feel like you're not alone. And I've heard some people when they when I post a TikTok or I do a meme or something like that, they're like, oh my God, I thought I was the only one. 100% yes. I'm laughing so hard. And I'm like, so you don't, humor is just so good because it can, like I said, it can just bring everyone together. It lightens it a little bit and it brings you all together. So yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people can relate to the TikToks you post or anything like that. So it's like really great to have that and that system of those groups online or just family who can support you. You know, support system is like great, not even for food allergies, but like anything you're dealing with in life, having that support system is just a great thing. Exactly. So also education is a great thing for just to kind of like be more peaceful and less panicky, like educating yourself about your allergy and like how to do things and just asking a lot of questions to people and just kind of figuring out your way. Because I feel like the hardest part is to start and is the beginning part of it. And the ending is, you know, you kind of, you know what you're doing, you figure it out and it's kind of like a step-by-step kind of thing. What are some go-to things that families need to acquire in case of an allergic reaction? Like, I know for me, I have like an emergency kit. What is that filled? What is an emergency kit filled with? What are some go-to things that families need?
So we carry our own, it's an Allermates case. And I highly recommend any food allergy family that has an injector that they carry, or even if they want to carry, you know, their own emergency medications like Benadryl or Zyrtec or whatever it is that, you know, depending on what your allergies are. I went and I got us a Allermates case, and it carries two injectors. It has vials, a little travel vials for Benadryl. It has wet wipes in there. I put there's a little card in there that has instructions on what anaphylaxis looks like, how to administer. You can also insert an ice pack for the summers because you have to keep your epi at a certain temperature, you know, hot or cold. So that helps. That's another thing that you want to think about when you do like your emergency kit. So get a bag, get something that you can carry because you carry it with you everywhere. And mine stays in my purse. It stays on the counter. If we take it off, it's got a set location every time. If I go somewhere, it's got a set location every time. If I'm leaving him with somebody, I hand him the case over and everything that they need is going to be there. There's my emergency contact information. There's his age in there. His allergies are in there. So that's something that you want in your kit is basically if you were in the worst situation, what are your tools that you would need? And what are you going to need to talk to in case of the emergency, like the person on 911 operator, you're going to need to know his weight, his this, his that. So you always want that in the case too, in case it's somebody else administering it for your kid. So get a case that can carry everything in it. And it doesn't have to be bulky. It can be, they have some really, really cool ones on Allermates. I love them. They're a great company. So you find them on Amazon too.
Oh, Amazon. Okay. Mm-hmm. The last segment is the words of wisdom. So what's a takeaway you can give to the audience as they come out of to give them a little less panic and a little bit more peace?
One day at a time. It's going to be very overwhelming at first. You're going to feel like you're drowning and you have no idea how you're going to navigate this new world. One day at a time, one foot in front of the other. With every new stage, you're going to learn and you're going to go a little bit up in more confidence and you're going to get a feel for what your life is like. Don't try to rush it now and don't try to predict your future. Just settle for this first step. So whether it's, okay, let's get past the we've traveled for the first time step, or, you know, it's all in phases and step. Don't try to rush and think ahead to 17 years from now. Stay where you're at, stay present and learn that stage first. One foot in front of the other, reach out, talk to someone who has food allergies, talk to a mom of somebody who has food allergies. These two people will be your partners. I love talking to people with food allergies because they've gone through it. So stuff that you might be worried about, they're like, nah, I didn't worry about that as much. So reach out, talk to people, one foot in front of the other. That's my advice for new people.
Well, thank you so much for sharing and for being
on the
podcast. You were very interesting to talk to and super, super kind. And
thank you.
Shared a lot of words of wisdom with people, and I'm sure they're going to benefit a lot from it. And thank you all for listening to this episode. I hope you all stay safe and take away with a little less panic and a little bit more peace. Peace out.